everybody. You're listening to Osho Radio. This program is about music and meditation. We have a discourse for you by Osho. And the music you're going to listen to in this program is made by people from different parts in the world who are connected with him.
I'm a non-electric woman. I don't need no cords or power. My power is inside, and I refuse to hide that my heart is open wide. Aren't you bored with electricity? It just brings me into misery. Doesn't touch me anymore. Since I know there's so much more, I'm not electric woman. There's got to be another way to make you feel what I have to say. When they put on all that power, it's like an electric shower. I'm a
discourse today is from the series The Goose Is Out, number 10. Somebody has asked the question, what will happen after Osho has gone? What will happen to the ashram? Will it become a dead institution? Osho explains to the questioner that he is not interested in the future nor in the past, that the only real thing that matters is this moment. We play a part of this discourse, and if you want to listen to the whole discourse, you can easily download it through the website oshoworld.com.
First question. Bhagwan, people are wondering what will happen when you are gone. When you leave your body, will the ashram become a dead institution? And will you just become deified and forgotten? My concern is the immediate, this moment, beyond this moment, nothing exists. The only time that is existential is now. And the only space that matters is here. So I don't care what happens in the future. Neither the past nor the future have any validity. But that is the way of the mind. The mind can only think in terms of past and future. The mind cannot experience the present. It deviates from the present continuously. The mind is like a pendulum. It moves to the left, far left, or to the right, far right. Either it is leftist or rightist. And my whole approach is to be exactly in the middle. The word for the middle Gautam Buddha used is very beautiful. He calls it Majjhim Nikah, the way of the exact middle. If you can keep the pendulum in the middle, the clock stops. And the clock represents the mind, not only literally, not only as a metaphor. Mind is time. Time consists of two tenses, not three. The present is not part of time. Past is time, future is time. The present is the penetration of the beyond into the world of time. You can think of time as a horizontal line. A is being followed by B. B is followed by C. C is followed by D. So on and so forth. It is a linear procession. Existence is not horizontal. Existence is vertical. Existence does not move in a line from A to B, from B to C. Existence moves in intensity from A to a deeper A. From the deeper A to even more deeper A. It is diving in the moment. Time, conceived as past and future, is the language of the mind. And the mind can only create problems. It knows no solutions. All the problems that humanity is burdened with are mind's inventions. Existence is a mystery, not a problem. It has not to be solved. It has to be lived. I am living my moments. I don't care a bit what happens later on. It may look to you very irresponsible. Because my criterion of responsibility is diametrically opposite to the so-called people's idea of responsibility. I am responsible to the moment, to existence. I am responsible not in the sense of being dutiful to it. Responsible in the sense that I respond totally, spontaneously. Whatsoever the situation is, I am utterly in tune with it. While I am alive, I am alive. When I am dead, I am dead. I don't see any question at all. The people who are asking why they should be worried about the future, they don't come to the ashram. They don't come to me. They have no participation with all that is going on here. They are concerned about the future. They are showing much worry about the future. What will happen? The question is, what is happening? And the people who are asking such questions are stupid too. Are they going to live forever? They are worried about me and my work, as if they are going to be here forever. I am here for the moment. You are here for the moment. If a meeting is possible, something of tremendous beauty can happen. But these fools go on thinking in such cunning ways that they not only deceive others, they manage even to deceive themselves. Right now they are condemning me. Right now they are criticizing me. And still they are showing great love. What will happen when I am no more here? The moment I die, the whole world dies for me. Then whatsoever happens, happens. I have not taken the whole responsibility of existence. Who can take it? And there have been people who have tried it, and they have all utterly failed. For example, Gautam the Buddha, one of the most beautiful men who has ever walked on the earth, was very much concerned that no religion should arise when he has left the world, that he should not be worshipped, that his statues should not be made. He emphasized again and again. His whole life, 42 years of constant sermonizing to people, that there is no need to worship me.
brought just the opposite result. The more he emphasized, don't worship me, the more people felt, this is the man to be worshipped. This is the law of the reverse effect. More statues of Buddha have been made in the world than of anybody else, and he was against the statues. So many statues have been made of Buddha that in Urdu, Arabic and other Mohammedan languages, the very word Buddha has become synonymous with a statue. With a little change, but. But means the statue. But but comes from Buddha. Thousands of statues. And the man was emphasizing, don't make statues. In fact, there was no need to emphasize it. The very emphasis was wrong. Why he should be concerned about the future? And when you are no more there, the very desire to control the future, according to your ideas, is political. People are trying to control humanity when they are alive. And they go on insisting that they would like to control humanity, even when they are gone. I am not controlling anybody. I am not a politician. I am not interested at all that anybody should be controlled by me. Today or tomorrow. Who are these people who ask this question? They must be Hindus, Mohammedans, Christians, Jainas, Buddhists, Krishnamurtiites. Who are these people? If they are so much concerned about me, have they dropped Krishna? Had they dropped Muhammad? Had they dropped Buddha? If they are honest and sincere, they would have dropped all the religions. But they go on carrying their Bibles, their Zendavestas, their Vedas, their Mahaviras, their Zarathustras, and still they are concerned only about me. And what are their institutions? What is Hinduism? Or Islam? Or Jainism? Or communism for that matter? Every institution is bound to be dead. Only a man is alive. No institutions are ever alive. How can an institution be alive? By its very nature, it is going to be dead. So next time these people ask you the question, you ask them, who are you? Do you belong to any institution? To any religion? To any theology, to any philosophy? If you belong, then you don't have the right to ask the question. And if you don't belong, then you will not need to ask the question. You will see the point that the intelligent people will never fall for dead institutions. And the unintelligent are bound to live in institutions. There is no way. You can change the label. And you are living in thousand and one kind of institutions. What is marriage? An institution. And only insane people live in institutions. Marriage is dead. What is your family? And what is your nation? And what is your race? All institutions. But this is a strange thing, that people go on asking these questions without ever thinking that those questions are pointing towards themselves. As far as I am concerned, I am not at all interested in the next moment. Even if this sentence remains incomplete, I will not make any effort to complete it. I will not even put a full point to it. I have no desire to dominate. But I cannot go on saying to people that don't worship me, because that is the way to create worship. People are to be understood in their whole insane mechanism. For example, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now many down these 2000 years have tried to be poor for the simple reason and motive so that they can attain to the kingdom of God. Do you see the contradiction? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Then what kind of poverty is this? If it brings kingdom of God to you, then this is a good incentive, a great motivation for greed. If Jesus was really right, he should have only said this, "Blessed are the poor, because they are poor." Then why make this statement, "For theirs is the kingdom of God"? Everybody wants to be the kingdom of God. Everybody wants to possess the eternal treasures, and if for that one has to be poor and sacrifice, it is worth. People have been doing this all along. It is time that man should start looking more clearly, more transparently, of what has been told to him and what he has done. People always misunderstand. When the master is alive, they will not come to him. Because when the master is alive, they cannot be allowed to misunderstand. They will come to him only when he is no more there. Because a dead master can be controlled, manipulated. The moment the master is gone, you have only the words. Words can be manipulated. Words can be interpreted. Words can be colored and painted according to your prejudices. But as far as I am concerned, it will be impossible. For many reasons it will be impossible. First, I am a man who is consistently inconsistent. It will not be possible to make a dogma out of my words. Anybody trying to make a creed or dogma out of my words will go nuts. You can make a dogma out of Mahavira. He is a very consistent man, very logical. You can make a philosophy out of Buddha. He is very mathematical. You can make a philosophy out of Krishnamurti. For 50 years he has been simply repeating the same thing again and again. You cannot find a single inconsistency in him. On the one hand he says that I am not your master, your guru. Don't depend on me. But in a subtle way, he is creating the whole philosophy, which is so consistent, so utterly consistent, that anybody would like to be imprisoned in it. It is so sane. It is impossible with me. I live in the moment. And whatsoever I am saying right now is true only for this moment. I have no reference with my past. And I don't think of the future at all. So my statements are atomic. They are not part of a system. And you can make a dead institution only when a philosophy is very systematic. When there are no more flaws. When no fault can be found, when all doubts are solved, all questions dissolved, and you are given a ready-made answer to everything in life, I am so inconsistent that it is impossible to create a dead institution around me. Because a dead institution will need an infrastructure of a dead philosophy. I am not teaching you any doctrine. I am not giving you any principles. On the contrary, I am trying to take away all philosophies that you have carried all along. I am destroying your ideologies, creeds, cults, dogmas, and I am not replacing them with anything else. My process is of pure deconditioning. I am not trying to recondition you. I will leave you open. Hence you can see here, all my sannyasins are unique individuals. There is no certain pattern in which they had to fit themselves. There is no should not. There is no rigid structure, but only a liquidity. I am not giving you 10 commandments. I am not giving you detailed information how to live, because I believe in the individual and the individual's dignity and his freedom. I am sharing my vision, that is my joy. But it is not being shared in order that you should try to live up to it. I am simply sharing my vision, my joy. I am enjoying it. And whosoever wants to enjoy with me is welcome. Naturally, when I am gone, there may be few fools who will try to figure it out, to make a system, although I am making it almost impossible. But fools are fools. They can try to do the impossible. But here something totally new is happening. I am not trying to create a religion. I cannot do it. Because the very idea of creating a religion is ugly. But I am religion, a sense of humor in you, a deep laughter in you. To me, laughter is more sacred than prayer. Dancing, more spiritual than chanting mantras. Loving existence, far more cosmic than going to a church or to a temple. Becoming utterly nobody, a pure nothingness, is far more significant than becoming a saint. Innocence, sense of humor, a joyous participation in life. You cannot create a dead institution around such tremendously alive experiences. A dead institution needs something dead to be made of. It is made out of the corpses of your saints. My whole approach is non-serious, sincere, but non-serious.
While doing anything, singing, seeing, tasting, be aware you are, and discover within yourself the current, the energy, the life, the ever living. Remember yourself, whatsoever you are doing. And self-remembering is not a mental process. It is not that you say, yes, I am. Feeling of I am, not the word I am. Just feel that you are. Don't think, feel. Try it. It is difficult, but if you go on insisting, it happens. You are walking under the trees. The trees are there, the breeze is there, the sun is rising. This is the world all around you. You are aware of it. Stand for a moment suddenly and remember that you are, but don't verbalize. Just feel you are. This non-verbal feeling, even for a single moment, will give you a glimpse. For a single moment, you are thrown back to the center of your being. You are behind the mirror. You have transcended the world of reflections. You are existential. And you can do it anytime. It doesn't need any special place, any special time. And you cannot say, I have no time. Eating, you can do it. Taking a bath, you can do it. Moving, sitting, you can do it. Anytime, whatsoever you are doing, you can suddenly remember yourself. And if you can have the glimpse for a single moment, you can remain in it. Only effort is needed. A continuous effort is needed. Single moment is given to you. You cannot have two moments together, so don't worry about two moments. You will always get one moment. And if you can be aware in one moment, you can be aware for your whole life. Only effort is needed now. And this can be done the whole day. Whenever you remember, remember yourself.
The question is, what's the question? Answer is, there's no answer. You just have to take a chance. There's no rules to this dance, so do what your heart tells you to. The secret is, there's no secret. Problem is, you think there's a problem. Well, life includes joy and pain. There's no rules to this game, so do what your heart tells you to. There really isn't any wrong or right. It's not like the daily news, only black and white. There's a rainbow of colors to choose between. Yellow, orange, red, violet, blue, and green. Be what you want to hear. It's a chance to now. This is all there is, and everything's how it's meant to be. What you want to hear is the chance to now be here now with me.
You are listening to in this program was by Ishu Vismaya, Manish Vijas, Sudananda, Vitsane, Rafi, and Trishi. We hope you enjoyed the program. Take care, everybody. Until the next time, Namaste.
Sana gaba 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 gaba.